Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is the last three verses of the Holy Gospel, which I'll read again for our hearing. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in spirit, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. This is the word, and these are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. You may be seated. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, it's good to be back. It's always good to take a vacation, but I have to admit, I really, really dislike vacations. Yes, it's fun to go out and enjoy the family, and I truly love that. I truly love taking my granddaughter to see things like the Lincoln Museum in Springfield, Illinois. But over time, I become quite bored. I find that vacations are more tiring than they are relaxing. And I know that there are many of you here in this congregation who don't have the opportunity for a vacation. And yes, I also understand that. I know that the cows will not wait to be milked. They demand that they be milked, and therefore you cannot take a vacation. I understand that there are chores to be done on the farm, and taking a vacation can be detrimental not only to your bank account, but to your family. Yet, Jesus makes a promise this morning. Jesus makes a promise of a perfect vacation. And this promise is for you. And this promise is made by your Lord and Savior. So this morning, as you have heard already, there are invitations to come. To come to Him. Now, my friends, I don't have to stand here and describe to you all the burdens, all the disappointments, all the trials and temptations that you have in your life. It may surprise you to know that I have the very same burdens, disappointments, trials, and temptations. None of us are exempt from them. Even the children who are here this morning, they have burdens and disappointments and trials and temptations. Maybe on a different level, but they are still in the crosshairs of the evil one. As you and I watch the news or read the newspaper or talk to our friends and neighbors and family, we know that the world is in turmoil. Should this surprise you? But let's bring it down to your level. It's more important to you to know of the turmoil that is in the lives of your family, of your friends, and even the turmoil that is in your very life. Yes, it's natural for us, we sinful human beings, to make excuses and to blame others, to not take responsibility for those disappointments that we cause, or the burdens that we place on other people, or the trials and the temptations that we create in the lives of other people. Yet we must recognize that we do live in a sinful world. And Jesus told us point blank, very clearly, that this world will pass away, that the sin of this world will be destroyed, and actually has been destroyed at the cross. He also told us point blank that you and I, that we are sinners. And even with that fact, even with those burdens and those trials and those temptations, those disappointments, the burden of our sin, that just like this brick that we have to carry around, those burdens of our sins, yes, they weigh us down. But even so, my friends, we still rejoice, for we know that there is hope. Jesus tells us this morning, He gives us a solemn guarantee and a promise. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus is delivering to you this morning an invitation. It's an invitation that only God can guarantee. It's an invitation that only God can deliver. And He has delivered on this guarantee. He has delivered on His invitation, His promise, right here at the cross. Jesus says to you and to me to come to Him. He says, come to Him because He knows that you cannot do it yourself. People will tell you, well, you just have to deal with it. They're wrong because Jesus has already dealt with it. And that's why I become so sad as a pastor. Because there are so many who try to deal with it themselves instead of turning to their Lord Jesus, instead of going to Him in prayer and believing that He has taken those burdens, that He has delivered that solemn guarantee, that solemn promise of life everlasting, that He has taken their sin away. The very Lamb of God has died for them. But still they want to wallow. They want to wallow in the sewer instead of taking the hand of their Lord so that He can lift them up and wash them once again. Jesus says to you, come to me. I myself will give you rest. Only God can give you rest, my friends. And that rest is a spiritual rest. A rest that is guaranteed to you. A rest that is perfect. And that can never be taken from you because of what He has done here on the cross. Jesus says to you, come to me. Believe me, an unending rest is freely yours. Yet in this life, we have so many people trying to find rest all by themselves or according to their own good works. And when tragedy and those trials and disappointments and temptations come into their lives, pastors especially, we see these people just fall apart because they are not standing on that solemn promise and guarantee of Jesus Christ. Jesus says to you, come to me. Look what I have done for you. Look what I have done for you. He has gone to the cross. He has took your burden. The burden of your children, the burden of your husband or wife, your burdens to the cross. The burden of sin, the burden of sin that will destroy you if you don't confess and believe that Jesus is your Savior. The burden of spiritual death, of which when Jesus returns, the invitation is withdrawn. The age of grace comes to an end. Now is the time, dear friends, to come to Him. To come to Him and to understand that you cannot do it yourself, that it is He Himself who gives you rest, that you must believe in what He has done for you in faith, and that you recognize and that you see all that He has done for you and you rejoice. Rejoice, for there is hope. Yes, this world will fall apart. Yes, there will be people who will ridicule you, who will even want to kill you because you are a Christian. Yet rejoice, as Paul says. I say again, rejoice. For you have the blessed assurance of life everlasting. What about those promises that Jesus has made? Does He have the credentials? Does He have the testimonial that backs up His claims? Or are His words just empty words? Like your friends and your neighbors who say, yeah, I'll help you do this, but they never show up. Yeah, well, I'll do this for you, but they do it, and they do it half-heartedly. And it costs you a lot of time and extra effort to fix their problems. No, Jesus isn't like that. His deeds prove to you his testimonial that he is who he claims to be, the very Lamb of God who's taken away the sins of the world. He is the Lamb who was led to the slaughter for you. He is the victorious King who rose on the third day for you. He is the Son of God who purchased everlasting peace for you. There's no one else in this world, and there's no one ever in this world who has these credentials. Yet there are people who want to follow those who make all these vain and empty promises. And in the end, they're disappointed. And then they blame other people rather than blaming themselves and falling to their knees and confessing their sins. For they have turned away from the one who has proven himself to be their Savior. The one who offers to you that perfect vacation. We see from our gospel lesson this morning that Jesus uses an example of a yoke. I don't have a yoke. I wish I had a yoke to show you what they look like. And many of you probably have yokes at home. I know for some of you, your fathers or your grandfather used yokes, maybe on their cattle, or maybe they even had an oxen. My wife's father, my father-in-law, had an oxen with a yoke. And they are very, very heavy. Maybe you have used a yoke before. I remember as a youngster that we had a well and I had to carry water into the house. Yes, we didn't have running water in 1963. I was just a young tyke and I had a pole that went across my back. And on the end of that pole were two notches of which went a handle to a bucket. And I carried water into the house quite often. It was heavy. Just like Buddy was holding that brick up, it became pretty heavy. It was a burden. In Holy Scripture, the yoke speaks of slavery. It speaks of the burden of sin, of guilt, of the oppressive weight of the law that presses down on us, that threatens to crush us, and will destroy us if we don't confess our sin and understand that we cannot carry the burden of sin by ourselves. In Isaiah chapter 9, God promises us a great light that will appear in Galilee, and it will shatter the yoke that burdens the people. My friends, that light came in Bethlehem, and that light went to the cross, and it shattered the yoke that burdens you. The Ten Commandments are the yoke. For you and I, we break these Ten Commandments and they become a burden to us. We have other gods. We profane the name of the Lord. We fail to come to worship and worship Him in spirit and in truth. We lie, we cheat, we commit adultery, we kill, we steal, we covet the things of our neighbor. These Ten Commandments show us our sin. They prove to us that we are a sinner. And those burdens, my friends, as you know, they have a horrible result. H-E-L-L. Yet Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Jesus says, come to me and follow me. And this isn't your decision or your thought. No, your conversion isn't by human reason or by human desire. Only the Holy Spirit leads you and to me to empower us to come to Jesus, to follow Him, to learn from Him, to hear the gospel. And when we hear the gospel, we believe and we live. Jesus' yoke is light, and His yoke is easy. Because, my dear friends, Jesus has already done the heavy lifting for you and for me. Yet there are thousands and thousands of Christians who walk through life bearing these heavy loads, and they try to handle it by themselves. They are told just to deal with it when Jesus has already dealt with it. Yes, His light yoke and His easy burden is for you. My friends, we can love, and you do love your family, your wife, your husband, your children, your grandchildren. You know how to love because Jesus first loved us. We are committed to Him, and we proclaim His holy gospel in law and gospel. We proclaim His word because He was first committed to us to proclaim that word. Jesus paid for your sins and has set you free from the effects of sin, death, and hell. That He was committed to this, to obey the will of His Heavenly Father. Yes, there is a day, my dear friend, when you will be on permanent vacation. No more milking, no more plowing, no more cutting beans or picking corn, no more going to the office and dealing with unbelievers, no more trials and temptations, no more fear, no more death, no more mourning. All because of Jesus' love, because of His commitment, because of His willingness to die for you. Thanks be to Jesus that in Him you have the forgiveness of all your sin. Thanks be to Jesus. Thanks be to Jesus indeed. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God that surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.